But the one thing that I want to draw from this passage of scripture is that fools do have songs. Fools do have songs. And the fact that fools have songs, that means that from these songs come their words, their deeds, and their consequences.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of What the Fool Believes from our series, Lessons to be Learned from the Song of Fools. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of What the Fool Believes.
You ask me how? I know he lives. He lives within my heart. I know that he lives. I know that there was a song out, especially when this movement, God is Dead, came up. The Mighty Clouds of Joy, they wrote a song, If God is Dead. Who can tell me where his body lies? If God is dead, who makes day and night? If God is dead, then my life is not worth living. I'm so glad I know he lives. He lives, he lives, he lives. I can feel him moving through the trees and the wind and the breeze. I can see him shining through the stars in the night that shines so bright. He lives. I'm so glad he lives. And so we see that people who don't believe in God are fools. I wish I had time to teach this morning, but I want to give to you some reasons that we see the existence of God real quick. I didn't put this up there again to do a teaching on it. I just put them up there so I could preach on them this morning. And the first thing we see is that God is uncaused. That he is the uncaused first cause of everything. That somebody said, well, how did God get here? He always been. He has always been around. There's never been a time when God started. God has always been. He is uncaused. I told y'all about the night I almost went crazy, didn't I? I told you about that night when I was laying in my bed and I began to think, how did God get here? I stretched my brain and racked my brain and came up with the answer. Another God put him here. And then I thought, well, how did that God get here? And it just took me on an endless rabbit trail of nothingness. And so finally I had to come to the conclusion that God has always been. There's never been a time when God was not. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. He is infinite. He is infinite as far as time, space, and matter is concerned. Infinite. You can't put restrictions on God. He fills these things up. God is self-sufficient. You know, what do we say? He is God all by himself, right? He doesn't need anything else to exist. He's God all by himself. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. And he is immutable. So where do the atheists say that things began? Well, they use evolution. Atheists say that we got here through the process of evolution. My granddaughter, a couple of years ago, told me about a science textbook that she was using and how that it taught evolution. And I asked her if she could bring her textbook home and I could read it. And so she brought it home. And this is what they're teaching our kids, right? Now, they won't lay creation beside it. Even though creation makes more sense. Even though evolution is almost becoming extinct because there's too many holes in it. Yet and still, they continue to teach our kids this. Scientists think that life developed from simple, and I'm taking this right out of the book, so this is what your kids will read. Scientists think that life developed right from simple chemicals in the ocean and the atmosphere. Energy radiation from storms could have caused these chemicals to react. Some of these reactions form complex molecules that made life possible. Eventually, these molecules have joined to form structures such as cells. And then from that, what we get, if you go to that next slide, we get that we have these cells on the left, right? These cells, and these cells develop. Scientists observe that the species have changed over time. They also observe that the inherited characteristics of populations change over time. Scientists believe as populations change over time, newer species form. Thus, the newer species descend from older species. The process in which populations gradually change over time is called evolution. Scientists continue to develop theories as to how evolution happens. Now, my question with all of it is that these simple chemicals, if there's nothing there, the great theologian, Billy Preston, said nothing from nothing leaves nothing. And if there's nothing there, where did these chemicals come from? Yeah. You know, the atheist, you know, challenged God to a contest and said, let's see who can make a man. And so they were gracious. The atheists, the evolutionists, they were gracious, and they let God go first. And God reached down into the dust of the ground. He formed a man. He blew into man the breath of life, and man became a living being. And God told the atheists, it's your turn. And the atheist kneeled down and scooped up dirt. And God said, oh, wait a minute, get your own dirt. Get your own dirt. So atheists want us to believe, if you go to that next slide, that it's from you to you by way of the zoo. From goo to you by way of the zoo. That's what they want us to believe, right? The fool have said in his heart, there is no God. And then there's the Big Bang, right? That said that it all started with a small kernel and it exploded. And that's how we develop populations and planets and universe and all that, because of the Big Bang. And I just want to say that I believe in the Big Bang. I believe in the Big Bang. God spoke and bang it was. The fool believes there's no God. The second thing, what does a fool believe? The fool believes that I can live my life without accountability. I can live my life without accountability. That if I can explain God away, God away, I can live any kind of way I want to live. And I don't have to worry about being accountable for this life that I have. Look what in Psalm 14. Verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have become abominable, or they have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Look at this. The Lord looked down. That's accountability, saints. That's accountability. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men, these Nabals, these fools, to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Now we read this in the New Testament too, these same words in Romans chapter 3. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. They don't think that they can be held accountable. They don't think that in the end they're going to have to give an account to God. And so what is it? It's just easier to not believe in God. It's easier for me to say there's no God than to realize that when I live this life and this life is over, I'm going to be held accountable for this life that I've lived. You see, there's some undeniable things that the fool can't deny. Even though the fool believes that I can live my life without accountability, we see, first of all, that God has placed eternity into the hearts of every human being. That you can't deny that. That God has placed within you this whole idea. And I'm going to show you in a minute what atheists do with it, right? God has placed in everyone this idea that eternity, and that there is life after this life. But the atheists, see, that's why atheists believe in evolution. Because what does evolution say? Evolution says that you live this life, and then when you die, you just return to nothingness. So I can live any way that I want to live because I'm not going to be accountable. I'm just going to turn right back to nothingness in the end. God has placed a knowledge of himself within the hearts of all humanity. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 19, in Romans chapter 2 verses 14 through 16, every person has a knowledge of God. And then in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and we can look at this right here, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be bad. That is the ultimate accountability. An atheist refuse to be accountable. Now, how do this is amazing, man. This is amazing. How do atheists deal with this accountability? That they don't want to be accountable. They don't want to know that when this life is over, that they want to stand before God who they have to give an account for this life. Man, you just can't walk across God's green earth and breathe God's air and realize that you're not going to have to give an account to God. Turn to the book of Romans. Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Let me show you three things that atheists do with this knowledge of God that they have, with this eternity that is placed in their hearts. Romans, chapter 1, verse 18. How do they deal with it? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold. Who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They take the truth of God. They take the truth of God regarding the sanctity of life, the sanctity of marriage, the morality that we find in the Bible. They take the truth of God, the idea that God has called us to reach out for our fellow individuals who are hurting. That God has called us to help those who are struggling. Not only with first and foremost salvation, but with issues of life. But what do the atheists do? The atheists take the truth of God, the knowledge of God in their heart, the eternity of God in their heart, and they suppress it in unrighteousness. There was a guy who went to the pastor to get baptized, and he didn't believe. So the pastor baptized him, and he took him down, put him under the water, brought him up, and said, "Do you believe?" And the guy said, "No." He took him down a second time, held him a little bit longer, and said, "Do you believe?" And the guy said, "No." He took him down a third time and held him down there for a while, brought him up and said, "Do you believe?" He said, "Yeah, I believe you're trying to kill me." What did this man feel that the pastor was doing? He was trying to drown him, right? He was trying to drown him. Even though the pastor wasn't trying. I got to be careful telling stories like that, right? Because little kids might think that, you know, that's not what we do, right? You know, as a matter of fact, when you see me baptized, you know, I don't know if you've noticed that when I baptize, I try to get you down to get you right back up. Get you just like a jack in the box, right? Boom, boom. And, you know, sometimes, you know, even if I don't get your whole head under there, I don't bother because I want it to be a good experience for you, right? So, Pastor Glaze, so that was just an illustration. But, you know, what do the ungodly do? They take the truth of God and they try to drown it. They try to kill it. They try to suppress it in unrighteousness. That's how they deal with that truth of God in their heart. That's how they deal with not holding themselves accountable. The second thing is, what do they do? In Romans 1, in verse 25, notice what it says here. Who exchange the truth of God for a lie. They take the truth, and now they begin to believe a lie. So if I take the truth that God, there's a God who's going to hold me accountable, and I now believe a lie. And what is the lie? The lie is that I don't have to give an account in the end. That, you know, I just go back to nothingness. And if I can exchange the truth of God for a lie, then I can deal with the fact that I'm not going to be held accountable. And finally, they did not retain the knowledge of God. That eternity that was in their heart, that the knowledge of God that was in their heart, Romans 1, 28 says this, and even as they did not like to retain the knowledge, retain God in the knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate minds to do those things which are not seen. So we see that they didn't want to retain that knowledge. They did everything they could to get rid of that knowledge. And eventually God just gave them over to a reprobate mind. What the fool believes. What the fool believes. The fool believes there is no God. The fool believes that he or she can live life without any accountability. And then the last thing, what the fool believes, is after this life, it's all over. After this life, it is all over. Let's go back to Psalm 14, and I'll conclude with this. Psalm 14, verses 4 and 5. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread. Now, look at this. We talked about these new atheists, right? What are they trying to do? They're trying to eat up God's people. They're trying to discourage God's people. They're trying to eradicate God's people. They eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord. But look at this. The psalmist is projecting into the future. And the psalmist says this, there were they in great fear that one day these atheists will stand in great fear. And they will stand in great fear. Now again, we look at these new atheists that I showed you, that we talked about, and some of them have died. And I guarantee you that the moment they closed their eyes in death, they woke up in great fear. They woke up knowing that there is a God who is a God of judgment. And so, what does a fool believe? The fool believes after this life is all over. But it's not. It's not. That we all will live for eternity. And you're going to live for eternity somewhere. You're either going to live in eternity in the presence of God, where there's fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore, or you're going to spend all eternity separated from a loving, from a gracious, from a kind, from a merciful God. All eternity. And an atheist will come to that realization, what the fool believes. There was a king, and he invited this jester to come into entertainment. And he said, I don't want you to entertain anybody else. He said, I'm going to pay you a handsome sum just to entertain me. He said, you are the biggest fool that I know, and you make me laugh. And so all I want you to do is just entertain me. And he gave the fool a scepter, and he told the jester, or the clown, or the fool, whatever you want to call it. He told him, he said, if you ever find anybody that's a bigger fool than you are, giving this scepter. So time went on, and the king was getting ready to die. And the king called the jester in for one final performance. And the jester performed, and the king was amused, and it kind of soothed some of the pain that he was going through. And the king asked the jester, or the jester asked the king, you getting ready to die. Have you prepared for eternity? And the king said, no, I haven't. He said, I'm just going to live, and when I die, I'll just go into nothingness. And the king, before he passed away, asked the jester, have you ever given that scepter to a person who was a bigger fool than you? And the jester reached into his bag, pulled it out, and said, here it is, O king. I'm giving it to you. Because the biggest fool is one who has not prepared for eternity. The biggest fool is the one who has not prepared for eternity. And we prepare for eternity by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And if you are here today and you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you are no fool. You might be a fool for Christ, which is a good thing. And I'm going to talk about that in one of these messages. What does it mean to be a fool for Christ? Right. I'm going to try to get this quote right. Some of y'all might have to help me with it. It's by Jim Elliot. He said, he is no fool who gives up which he cannot keep to keep that which he cannot have. Wow. He is no fool who gives up this world that you cannot keep to keep something that you cannot lose, which is Jesus Christ and a relationship with him. Don't be a fool. Don't be a fool and fail to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of I Pity the Fool, Greed, from our series, Lessons to be Learned from the Song of Fools. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, What the Fool Believes, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request What the Fool Believes. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request What the Fool Believes, or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, Lessons to be Learned from the Song of Fools, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.